And look at Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. You young people, I want you to listen to me tonight. I'm going to try to help you, give you something that maybe help you. And some of us that are older, we'd wished we'd heard a message about this when we were your age. And so anyway, if you'll listen to me and get your Bible and look on and mark in it and look in it and make a note or two. Genesis chapter 25, we've been comparing different things. We compared two brothers this morning. I want to look at two other brothers here tonight in Genesis 25, beginning in verse number 27. In verse number 27 of Genesis 25, the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd help us tonight. Give us that which we need to help us to say those things that will help. Lord, help us to refrain from saying those things that would hurt. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Genesis 25, you'll see another set of probably twins, Jacob and Esau. And if you want a little background, the little background of this story is there was a fellow by the name of Abraham. God promised Abraham a seed where Jesus Christ would come from, the promised seed. And Abraham kept on waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, he said, "I'm going to help God out. And I'm going to help him out." Sarah said, "Well, I'm going to help him out too." And Abraham, you go in there with the lady that cleans the house. And her name's Hagar, and y'all have seed, and you'll have a son, and we'll help God out. He needs our help. He don't know what he's doing. And so we're going to help him out. You'll get a son. Everybody will be happy. And so they helped God out, all right. And they had a boy named Ishmael. Ishmael was born. He had a towel wrapped around his head. And Ishmael was a Palestinian. Ishmael was one of those that thought that land belonged to them. Ishmael was one of those that had a Muslim-type religion. He was the firstborn, Ishmael, by not Sarah, but the lady that cleans the house. Her name was Hagar. And finally, later on, Abraham was of old age and Sarah was old age. And there became a son named Isaac. And God says, "That's the one I was telling you about. That's the one I was trying to get you to wait on. And now you've got two half-brothers over there fighting over that land of Israel right now, this very minute, because God didn't wait on, or Abraham didn't wait on God. He thought he'd help God out and make us all better. And now we're paying for the decision that Abraham and Sarah made." You say, "Preacher, oh, don't be discriminatory. Them people, they're just, you know, people like everybody." Now, let me just help you a little bit if I could. Over there in Genesis 22, God told Abraham, "Take thy son." Who was born first? Ishmael, the Muslim. Genesis 22, God told Abraham, "Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac." Ain't that something? God don't even recognize. Now, tell that, and hopefully that'll get to the White House. God don't even recognize that nation. Said, take thy son, thy only son. Abraham's like, well, I got another boy. Well, I don't even, what, who? Don't even know anything about him. Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, up there and over. Isaac grows up. Obviously, you know the story. He grows up. Isaac has, and Isaac and Rebecca have two boys. Their names are Esau. Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob. And any time in the Bible you have, I'm going somewhere, stay with me. Anytime you have an older boy, the older boy got two-thirds of the inheritance because he was the oldest. When the dad died, the oldest boy became the patriarch, the leader of the family, made all the decisions for the family, was the older brother. And the younger brother got the other third, and the older boy got the two-thirds. He got the majority. It was his birthright when his dad died. And so Esau was a man of the field. He was a deer hunter. He was a hunter. He liked to be out in the field. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But Jacob was a plain man. He liked to stay in the house and hang around the house. And there's nothing wrong with that either if you will do that. And so Esau's out there and he's hunting. He's been out there all day. Hadn't killed a thing. All he's killed was time. How many of y'all been there before? And he's killed a bunch of time, but he ain't killed any deer. And he's about to starve. He hadn't had breakfast, hadn't had lunch, hadn't had supper. He's about to die. He's faint. He's about to pass out at any moment. I mean, he's on the verge of a feeding tube. I mean, he comes dragging in. How many of y'all remember in the summer when it was hot outside, we'd go swimming down at the old swimming hole down at the pond down there. We'd be out down there all day and I mean just having a good time. We'd come in and Mom would fix us. I mean, she'd take a piece of bread and she'd put butter on it and then she'd sprinkle sugar on. I'm feeling something on that. She'd sprinkle that sugar on there, and then she'd get a mason fruit jar and put some ice in it, put some sweet tea in there, and you'd sit there as a kid, and you're about to die, you're about to pass out, and you'd take that thing, mash it together, and eat that sugar butter sandwich. How many of y'all with me? Tell me, I remember that. And if you was lucky, you got to put some jelly on it. And if it was real lucky, we got peanut butter and we had a PB&J. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, you've been hungry and you didn't know what you was going to do. And Esau was that way. Son, he'd come in there. He's about to die. He smells something. He smells some deer meat cooking. He smells some deer chili. You say, no, it ain't in there. It is in there. Red pottage. What is red pottage? In the Hebrew, deer chili. Jacob's got some deer chili on the stove. Fumes going throughout the tent. It's done made its way. Esau's coming through there. He said, boy, I'm telling you, I can't wait to get home. I smell it. Mama's got something on the table. And he gets home and he finds out his younger brother is the one's got the food. How many of y'all ever watched the show growing up? I don't know if it's even on anymore. Let's Make a Deal. You remember that show? Let's Make a Deal. Well, this is what's fixing to happen. Let's Make a Deal. Because Esau comes in from the field, he's faint, he's about to die, and he smells this deer chili, and Jacob says, man, I tell you what, you can have a bowl. Yeah. Oh boy, give me that bowl, give me a spoon, give me a napkin. He says, but you gotta give me something in return. Right. I want your birthright. You trade your birthright for this bowl of deer chili. He says, this is what Esau said. Well, let's see. My birthright is not going to do me any good right now. I'm about to die right now. And everything's about right now. If it feels good, do it right now.
and I'm about to die right now, my birthright, I can't wait till tomorrow. I don't know, I don't care about the future. I don't care what the future holds. I don't care what my birthright is. Dad is, he's probably not going to die for another 100 years, and I'm not going to get the stupid birthright anyway, and by the time there, he's going to spend it all. Mom and Dad went somewhere not too long ago, and man, they just traveling all over the place, staying in motels, going to Branson, going to Gatlinburg, all over. I said, what in the, I called them, what in the world are y'all doing? Get home. They said, we're spending your inheritance. I said, well, hallelujah. I said, I don't like that a bit. I ain't going to get nothing anyway. Esau says, he says, I tell you what, I want the now and now. I want something that'll benefit me now. My flesh is hungry. I'm starved. I want you to give me some chili. You can have the birthright. I don't care about the birthright. I don't care about the future. I don't care about anything in the past. Young people, listen to me. I don't care anything about the future. I want the now. I want the chili now. Give me the chili now. Yeah. Jacob said, sound good to me. Drew up the paperwork. I mean, Esau got slobber coming down both sides. Get, hurry up. Get. There, give me the chili. You can have the birthright. And so Esau trades his birthright for a bowl of Wendy's chili. Wendy's deer chili. Probably not. I hadn't had supper yet. Esau. Man, that's good. Mm. And he ate that whole bowl of Wendy's deer chili. And Brother Charlie, when he got done, he had an empty bowl and an old used up spoon. And his younger brother walked off with his birthright. Traded his future. Young people, listen. Traded his whole future for just a bowl of chili. He got done for 15 minutes of pleasure. How long, Brother Crawford, did it take him to eat a bowl of chili? I don't have any idea. But let's just say 15 minutes of pleasure. 15 minutes of pleasure, young people, just for a second, and you will trade your whole future. You will change your whole future. Your whole future will change in just a second. What you do today, what you'll do right now, will change your future tomorrow. What you do for God right now, what you don't do for God right now, will change your future for just 15 minutes of pleasure. Give me that now. I want it now. I don't care about what God's got for me in the future. I'll take what's behind door number one, and you don't even know what's behind door number one. I'll take what's behind door number one. You can take what God has planned for my life. Give me what I want now. And young people, so many people have ruined their lives just for a bowl of chili. Churches have traded their future for a new version and just a bowl of chili. Young people, you know the music that we just sung a while ago? You say, oh, that's boring. It needs a beat to it. No, it don't need a beat to it. It needs to stay just like it is right there. You'll trade it out, and when you get done bebopping and bopping your head around, you'll have an empty bowl, a used up spoon, and you won't have any future left of what God's got for you. All for just a measly old bowl of chili. Because your flesh is hungry now. What's your flesh hungry for? Young people, what's your flesh hungry for? I can tell you this, 15 minutes of pleasure will change your whole life. And kids are having kids now. Why? 15 minutes of pleasure just for a bowl of chili. You better be careful. Esau didn't know what his future was, and neither do you. I don't know what my future holds. I never saw myself growing up at Trinity Baptist Church, jumping up and down on them Sunday school tables over there. And Miss Judy Cole, she's finna go get my daddy and tell my daddy. And I had no idea I'd be some of y'all's pastor. And y'all didn't know it either. I guarantee you Miss Judy didn't know it. If you'd have told Miss Judy that I was going to be her pastor one day, ain't no telling what, she'd have lost her salvation over that deal. I didn't see my future. You don't know, young people, you don't know what God's got for you. You have no idea what God's got planned for you. But I can tell you this, what you do today can change the whole thing. Just for an old bowl of chili. Mark, you want some? Okay. Let me share it with you. That's a short message. It's not very long at all. But I can tell you this. There's a lot of... You say, what's in my birthright? Well, I can tell you this. The Bible says we are heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You have an inheritance. You've got a future. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're saved, then you have a future. You've got an inheritance, and what you do today can change that whole thing. Esau could have been financially stable as far as his family was concerned. He could have been set up 2/3 of the whole family. He could have been the patriarch of the whole family after his dad died. And just because his flesh was weak, at a moment's notice, let's make a deal. And Jacob says, hey, let's make a deal. I'll give you this bowl of chili. You'll give me your birthright. And they drummed up a little deal there. They signed the paperwork, and they traded his future just for a bowl of chili. All he wanted was immediate satisfaction, immediate need. His passions ruled his life. His passions, his priorities ruled his life in just a moment's notice. The now and now. I want it now. You say, preacher, I don't need a birthright. Who needs a birthright? I don't need one. Yeah. And when you're in a plane, you don't know you need a parachute. And you hope you don't never need it. But if something ever happens, you better hope. It's a lot of trouble to tote a parachute on your back. It's heavy. This thing ain't going to go down. I'm going to take this off. You better not. How are we not going to need this? This driver, he's been flying this plane forever. He's not going to go down. You better not take it off. You might need it. Your future depends on it. The now and now. I want it now. Well, I tell you what. Turn the page. Genesis 32. Look at Genesis 32. You're going to love this. Look at Genesis 32. And we're going to read here. This is Genesis 32. Y'all remember the story where Jacob is fighting him and God are wrestling around fighting each other and all that kind of thing. They wrestle till the break of day. Y'all remember that story? And at the end of that, Jacob woke up the next morning. He walked with a limp because God. I'm going to tell you, it's a funny story. I ain't got time to read the whole thing. But when the whole thing was over, verse 27, 32:27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Y'all, hey, does that name look familiar? Jacob. Jacob. Well, verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob. All right, no more Jacob. What's my name going to be? But what?
Israel. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Is that a pretty important name? That consists of a whole nation of people. Now wait, hang on, young people, watch this. Listen, watch this. Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and now everybody is, when they say, they'll say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and it was supposed to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's what it's supposed to be. He was the oldest. But just a bowl of chili. Now it's Abraham, Isaac, and who? And now his name has been changed to the nation of Israel. Oh, you think that's pretty important? Pretty important. I bet you Esau didn't know that a few chapters before that. I bet you he didn't know that when he traded everything he had just for a bowl of chili. A nation was delivered from the land of Egypt, and they walked across on dry ground. God parted the Red Sea. You know who all those people were? They were Jacob's kids. Jacob's kids. They should have been Esau's kids walking across on dry ground. Should have been Esau's kids delivered from the nation of Israel. Should have been Esau's people crossing the Red Sea. Who's what? Jacob's people. Take your Bible, look at Matthew. Look at Matthew. I'm trying to hurry. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Oh, look at Matthew chapter 1. And look here about verse 1. The book of the generation of who? Question, young people, is that important? I mean, that's pretty important, isn't it? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of who? The son of who? Abraham begat who? And Isaac begat? Supposed to have been who? Esau's name should have been right there in the Bible. His name got wrote out of the Bible. Why? And Jesus Christ came from Jacob instead of... You want the chili now? You want the 15 minutes of pleasure now? Or you say, nope, devil, I don't want your chili. I'm going to wait to see what God's got for me. Over there in Luke. Look at Luke. Luke. Real quick. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Very simple sermon. Not much to it, but it's a whole lot of truth. Luke chapter 3. Look at this. About verse 32. Luke 3:32. And this is genealogy going the opposite direction. Look at verse 32, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Nahshon, which was the son of Abinadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Ishram, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. Boy, aren't you glad for the names we have nowadays? Which was the son of who? Which was the son of who? Verse 34 was supposed to read, which was the son of Esau. Which was the son of Isaac. Which was the son of Abraham. Why? Well, just one little bowl. 15 minutes. Pleasure. And he got done. He had an empty bowl, used up spoon, and somebody else walked off with what God had for him. You think it's pretty important? Well, sure it's pretty important. Hey, young people, listen to me. What you do today, I'm going to give you an example. What you do today will change your future. So I don't believe that. Well, There was a young boy who grew up into a preacher's home, and this is what he decided to do. Every time that boy did something wrong, he would go out to this old post sticking up in the middle of the yard, old wood post, fence post thing sticking up there, and he took a old spike. He'd drive a nail on that spike every time he did something wrong. His daddy come out there and said, "Boy, go on and get you another spike. You're supposed to take the garbage out, and you didn't take the garbage out. You're supposed to take the garbage. Go get you another spike." I'm talking about that post was full of spikes. So daddy, the boy said, "Daddy, how do I get rid of that?" He said, "You got to get forgiveness. Each time you get forgiveness, we'll take one out." He went and got forgiveness. Boy, he took that out. Boy, he's proud. I think God forgives. "Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that. Daddy, Daddy, forgive me for this." Boy, he went around that whole fence post, and boy, got them all gone. And he looked and he said, "Daddy, why is that post still ugly?" And his daddy said, "Son, you can get forgiveness. There's a scar still there. God will forgive you. He'll forgive you for anything. But you can mark this down. There's still going to be scars there. But you're going to have a hard time getting..." Why? You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to tell?" I'm trying to tell you, leave the chili alone. The devil knows right where to get us. He'll look right there. You say, "Preacher, give us some examples." Oh, I got several examples. Brother Billy can tell you about one of his good friends of mine as well. And Brother David Epps, that preaches here all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, they've done things before they even got saved. And they got saved. God forgave them and washed the sins away. And they're still paying for what they did before they even got saved. You better watch out for the chili. I remember a story about George Beverly Shea. I've told a story about George Beverly Shea. Love George Beverly Shea. George Beverly Shea, his daddy was an old Methodist preacher, and he'd preach and he pastored, and the finances wasn't too good. And, of course, George Beverly Shea, 23 years old, he dropped out of college to go to work to the insurance office to help his mama pay the bills. And all of a sudden, he got a job offer. New York City, NBC, money, money, money. He went to church that next morning. He going to play the piano because he played for his daddy. His daddy pastored that little Methodist church. He got on the piano and he sat down. And on that, right there, where you hold the songbook at, there was a poem written by a dear lady in the church. He read that poem. She knew he would sit there and watch, look. He read that poem. He began to put music to that poem. And that poem was, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. How's the song go, Mark? You don't remember? Something like that. You know the song. "I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." George Beverly Shea said, "I've sung that song more in my lifetime than any other song." But he said the words to that song ring true. He said, "I was that close to trading what God had for me." I'll give you another for instance. I know some of you are getting tired, but I'm sort of just getting in second gear now. A lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. Y'all have heard me tell stories about Fanny Crosby. She was blind and wrote 9,000 hymns. The circus. She was a little short lady, had dark glasses, you know, because she was blind, and she looked like, you know, something out of the circus. I'm being saying it respectfully, but in Barnum and Bailey Circus came to Fanny Crosby's mom and said, "Hey, we'd like to use your daughter. Your daughter can make a whole lot of money in the freak show in the circus." Fanny Crosby's mama said, "You ain't using my daughter in that way. God's got a plan for my daughter. You can take your own chili bone back. You can take your chili on back to the circus. Amen. Do whatever you want to with the chili. We're not eating none of it. We're not taking what's behind door number one. We're going to wait and see what God's got for us."
Fanny Crosby went on to write 9,000 hymns. 95 years old. Y'all ready? 95 years. It's just 7 o'clock. Hang on. 95 years old. Died. She's buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Her headstone. Her name. Aunt Fanny. And under her name are these words. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. M.R. DeHaan. If you don't know who M.R. DeHaan is, a great, great physician. Made money in the medical field. Got called to preach. He gave up his medical practice and went to preacher school. He pastored 2 churches in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he went on to begin one of the largest Bible classes in 1938 and outgrown one of the classes in Detroit. And now it's called the Radio Bible Class. And it grew rapidly. And soon, 2 national networks picked it up. And he's going all over the world. The man, yet dead, yet speaketh. Billy Sunday, a professional baseball player, 1883. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia teams. He was converted through the street preaching of Harry Monroe at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. He left $5,000 a year salary, a baseball player. 1883, $5,000 a year, that's pretty good. He traded $5,000 a year for $84 a month for a ministry position. At the YMCA, when the YMCA was an evangelistic organization. He was an evangelist from 1893 to 1935. And it's estimated that over 300,000 people walked the aisle and received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You say, he gave up that much money? Oh, wait, hang on. When we get to heaven, he traded a measly $5,000 down here for his reward in. People, listen. Young people, think about this. Everybody's wanting silver and gold. They want money in their pocket. They want a fat roll. Let me tell you something. In heaven, that don't mean nothing up there. They pave, they fix potholes in heaven with gold. They walk on what you adore. They walk on under their feet, walk their feet over a pot of gold. What we desire and kill to get. Just for a bowl of chili. One more verse and I'm done. Revelation 21. I'm done. Revelation 21. I sure hope this is making sense to you. Revelation 21, I hadn't preached this in forever. Hallelujah. I run across that, so I'm preaching that. Hallelujah. Revelation 21. Yo, get you by, look at this. Revelation 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, new what? Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Boy, it talks about that. And then, turn the page. If you got a school video, you have to turn the page. And you look at this. It just starts describing that city. Look at verse 10. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto stone, most precious, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of who? Hey folks, we're talking about the New Jerusalem. We're talking about the place you're going to live. In case I get hungry. We're talking about the place you were going to live. Amen. New Jerusalem. Amen. It's got 12 gates. Got 3, 3, 3, and 3. Is that 12?
over the door, the little nameplate, over all 12 doors. The door is like one big pearl. Wouldn't you like to see the oyster that put that out? Over the door. 12 gates, just like this one. Over the door is a nameplate. It has the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Hold the phone. You know whose name? Who you know who them boys belong to? Take a wild guess who them boys belong. Got their name. We're talking about. Hey, new. Did I say New Jerusalem? Did I say heaven? Did I say a gate had a nameplate over top of it? You know who boy? Who you know whose boys them are? You know whose names was supposed to have been up there? Young people, you know whose names were supposed to have been up there? Esau's 12 boys. Why didn't Esau's boys get their names up there? Just a bowl of chili. Now, I'm done. Watch this. They get to heaven. They're walking around. Esau's boys. Hey, Daddy. Daddy, come. What in our name supposed to be up there, Dad? What happened? Well, son, let me tell you, it's your daddy's fault. One day my fleshly desires overruled God's future plans. And I traded having y'all. I traded having y'all's names up there. Daddy, what you got to show for it? I don't even have the bowl and the spoon anymore. It dwindled away to nothing. Where moth, dust corrupt. But Daddy, up here, no thieves or nothing breaks in to steal or to kill. This would have been preserved. This is your future. I know, boys. I'm sorry. Daddies, listen to me. What you do today might affect your kids tomorrow. That's Bible. What you do today, young people, what you do today might affect your future. Dads, moms, what you do today might just affect your kids' future. See, we're dealing with more than just you. If sin just affected you, if it's just you and nobody else, we wouldn't worry about it so bad. It's still bad. But if it's just you and it only affects you, we wouldn't worry about it so bad. If you're going to be hard-headed, go on and do it. But listen, it's not just you. It affects everybody around you. It might even affect where you go to church. Young people, listen to them. Two boys come from the same mom and daddy, raised in the same church. Just a bowl of chili. Heavenly Father, I pray that's helped somebody. Lord, I think we all need to be in the altar tonight. Lord, how the devil has tempted. He's tried to make churches and get churches to change for a bowl of chili. He's tried to get dads to sell out. Sell their future for a bowl of chili. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Would you please protect our families, watch over us? Please, would you, tonight, in Jesus' name we pray. Won't you stand? Mark's going to play. Won't you come to the altar? Come on. Come on the altar. Young people, come on. Lord, y'all go to the altar every time at the youth camp. Come on, don't get out of that. Don't get out of practice of that.
I know it's been a while since we've been to youth camp, but some of you done got over it. Get back in it. Don't let the devil trick you for a bowl of chili. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Just a few minutes. That was mostly to save people. Or maybe somebody not be saved. I don't know. You may not be saved. You need to be saved. Never trusted Christ. It's worth serving God. It's worth serving God. It's worth serving God. People are praying. If you need to, you come. If you need to. God's been good to us, hasn't He? People are still praying. He sure has been good to us.